Amen. It is good to know Jesus.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Amen. And it is unto him who we give honor and praise on this afternoon. To my friend and my pastor, Reverend Dr. Robert Jimerson, again, I say thank you for your friendship, your guidance, your love for this preaching opportunity to you, my father's children. Our text this morning comes to us from the book of Acts, chapter number 27. Amen. There's more to the story, which we'll touch on as we go through our little talk, but we'll read these verses near the end of the 27th chapter of Acts, beginning at verse 41, and falling into a place where two seas met. They ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable. But the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. And the rest, some on boards, and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. Amen. Amen. Thank God for the pieces. Amen. A few months ago, we were trying to work out a situation for my son, Christopher. And it was going to take some maneuvering, a readjusting of some things. And there was some uncertainty as to whether we would be able to make it work. So at one point, Chris, not wanting to be burdensome, said to me, in essence, "Don't worry about it. I'll just deal with what it is." And my response to him was, "No, sometimes in life, in order to accomplish or attain what's important to us, we have to understand that it's not always an easy road. Sometimes you have to travel a different route to reach your destination. Sometimes you even have to take a step backward before you can move forward." And it was in that conversation that this account in Acts came to my mind. What I was really saying to him is that in this life, sometimes you have to piece stuff together. When I was 13, for Christmas, Santa gave me exactly what I wanted: a new stereo system. Amen. Dual cassette, Dolby sound, that L-shaped arm that where you could stack multiple records. Just what I wanted. Santa gave it to me. It was the same stereo that I took to college with me. Well, after I had had it for about 7 years, I noticed that when I turned up the volume, because I like it loud, the needle would skip, would bounce off the record. So a couple of my friends in the dorm told me to put a nickel on top of the needle and that would stop the skipping. And it worked, except when I turned it up more, because I like it real loud, the nickel would bounce off. So I took a piece of scotch tape, fastened the nickel in place. If you looked at it, it didn't look pretty, but it got the job done. And somebody knows about having a suit. The pants are fine, but the jacket has a hole in the sleeve. But you got another suit, and the jacket is good, but the pants don't fit. So you take the good pants from the one suit and the good jacket from the other suit, make you a new suit, and folk tell you how good you look. Somebody knows about driving around in a car. Tires don't match. Rims don't even match. But it got you to work. Somebody knows about standing in the checkout line and handing the cashier a 5, 3 ones, 8 quarters, 3 nickels, and a couple of pennies. But you got what you came for. Somebody got a transcript, and you got classes from one school, and classes from another school, and classes from a third school. But you also got a degree hanging on the wall. And other folk will look at it and say, I can't do it like that. Other folk will look at it and say, I need my stuff to line up. Well, more power to you. But I got things I want to do. I got places I need to be. And I found out that in this life, sometimes you got to piece stuff together. And I feel like I'm helping somebody already. Don't be ashamed of the pieces. Don't be embarrassed by the pieces, but embrace the pieces. Hold on to the pieces, because it's those same broken pieces that's going to carry you where you're supposed to be. What I'm trying to say to somebody today is this. Do not measure the worthiness of the destination by the expediency of the journey. Dr. Charles Stanley once wrote that expediency is the enemy of the Christian walk. Expediency in this context means to pursue the path that offers the most advantage and the least resistance. And see, too many Christians are missing out on arriving at their destiny, fulfilling their purpose, making a difference, impacting lives, carrying out the work of ministry. They're missing out simply because they've determined that it's too hard. And so they choose a path, a work that offers the least resistance. That is to say, it won't cost them nothing. See, this is why expediency is so dangerous, because in this church age, ministry is supposed to lead to profit. But I stand to remind somebody today that if you are engaged in true ministry, you can count on losing something. It will cost you friends. It will cost you profitable opportunities. It will cost you relationships. It will cost you reputation and standing. But I stand by the words of Christ. If you put your hand to the gospel plow and look back towards your leaving behind, you're just not fit for this. And so too many Christians choose that which offers the least resistance. And it offers advantage, because then they can make notation in their gospel ledger under the heading of I did something. And then I'll get all smug and sanctimonious because I did something in the name of ministry, but I still got what I started out with. I'm trying to stay on point, which is we cannot measure the worth of the outcome by the comfort of the journey. Instead of evaluating the outcome based on if it helped people and pleased God, we evaluate the outcome by how easy it was to get there and how I looked on the way. These few verses near the end of the chapter 27, near the end of the book of Acts, actually, is an account that can be traced back to chapter 25. There, Paul is jailed in Caesarea. And the Bible says that the ranking Jews had decided that whatever it takes, they were going to see that Paul is killed. Because Paul had been preaching Christ, which meant he had been preaching against the teachings and authority of the Pharisees and Sadducees. In chapter 25, a new governor had been assigned to that area, a man by the name of Festus. The Jews came to Festus and told them about Paul and requested that Paul be sent to Jerusalem to be tried. But Festus said, "Let me hear Paul here." So they brought Paul and leveled many accusations against him, but they could not prove them. But Festus was anxious to get on the good side of the Jews. So he asked Paul, "Wouldn't you rather go to Jerusalem and answer these charges?" But Paul answered, "I've done nothing to the Jews. If anyone should judge me, I appeal to Caesar." And Festus agreed. While they were waiting to transport Paul, the ruler of Judea, Agrippa, shows up. And Festus tells Agrippa about Paul's case. He says that the Jews have brought accusations against him, but I don't believe them to be substantial. In fact, their charges have to do with their God and their religion and some man named Jesus who died, but Paul keeps saying he's alive. When I asked him if he would rather go to Jerusalem to answer the charges, he demanded to see Caesar. Agrippa, his interest is piqued in the case. And so he says to Festus, I want to hear him for myself. And so you may remember, Paul is brought before Agrippa, and Paul talks about meeting Jesus on the Damascus Road and being called to preach deliverance to salvation, deliverance and salvation. Paul even preaches that Jesus suffered and died and rose again. Finally, Festus interrupts and calls him crazy. But Agrippa declares, "Paul, you almost had me. You almost persuaded me to be a Christian." When Paul had been taken away, Festus and Agrippa talk and they agree that not only is Paul now not guilty of an offense worthy of death, but if he had not appealed to Caesar, he'd probably be set free. And so here in chapter 27, Paul has been put on a ship as a prisoner on his way to Rome, and the ship wrecks. It's a lot of background, I know, but it's important for us to be reminded what Paul endured for the cause of Christ. Trumped up charges, unfair detention, looked upon as crazy, shackled, and now shipwrecked and his life endangered. From a jail cell in Rome, Paul would write a letter to the church at Philippi. And in that letter, Paul would declare that whatever I have lost is nothing compared to knowing Christ and serving Christ. Paul says, "Whatever it cost me, it was worth it to serve Christ. I never worried about how the journey looked. I never worried about how difficult or how rough the journey was. All that mattered is that I made it to the destination." See, in this church age, the Christian seems consumed with arriving with everything still intact. So consumed that if it seems we might lose something, we won't even start. And if and when we lose something along the way, we take that as a sign that it's time to quit. Look at the text. The Bible says that as Paul was being transported to Rome, the boat in which he was held struck a sandbar. While the front of the boat was stuck, the rear of the boat broke apart by the violence of the waves. Verse 42 tells us that the soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners to keep them from swimming ashore and escaping. But the centurion intervened, and he gave the command that those who could swim should jump overboard first and swim to shore. And verse 44 tells us that the rest followed, hanging on to broken pieces of the ship, and everyone made it to the shore safely. Notice what is written. Some swam. Others hung on to broken pieces. But everybody made it. I'm trying to help somebody today, because this is another issue we have. Don't evaluate your journey based on somebody else's journey. Amen. We look at what seems to be the ease of other folks' journey compared to the roughness of our journey and conclude something must be wrong with me. Other folk are always happy with their marriage. Other folk don't ever seem like they broke. Other folk love their job and their co-workers and their boss. But it looked like I'm always struggling with everything. This must not be meant for me. But look again at the story. They were all in the boat. They all hit the water. Some of them swam. Some had to hang on to pieces, but they all made it. I'm still trying to tell somebody, hang on to the pieces. Just because you can't swim doesn't mean you got to die. Earlier in this 27th chapter of Acts, this same boat had been caught in a great storm. The storm was so great that in verse 20, the writer states they all had lost hope that they would be saved. But Paul stood before them and declared, "Take heart, for there shall be no loss of any man's life." He said, "For an angel of God, who I belong to and who I serve, appeared to me and told me, 'Fear not, you must be brought to Caesar.'" This whole trip, Paul journeyed under the threat of death, but he also journeyed standing on the plan of God. And to Paul, his destiny was worth every bit of the struggle. Maybe your job has turned on you. Maybe they eliminated your position. Or maybe you're still there, but the work environment has become decidedly ungodly. Maybe you got family problems. The money is tight and there's no one to help you with the children and you feel like it's all on you and it's getting very hard. Maybe the marriage is broke up. And most of y'all know by now. And all your plans have dissolved and the only thing you know is that you don't know anything. Does it hurt? Naturally. Is there anger? That's accurate. Is there sometimes the feeling that you're drowning and everything has escaped your control? Often. But what are we supposed to do? What do you do when that in which you rely on to carry you, what you anchored yourself on, what you find security in, comes apart? What are we supposed to do when the boat breaks? Am I supposed to give up? Am I supposed to quit? Am I supposed to sit down? I tell you what I did. I found me some pieces. Because there's promise in the pieces. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. There's purpose in the pieces. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God hath before ordained. There's hope in the pieces. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. There's deliverance in the pieces. When my enemies and my foes came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. I'm trying to help somebody today. The boat might be broken, but you ain't dead yet. Amen. A broken boat doesn't mean broken purpose. A broken boat doesn't mean a dead destiny. The boat might be broken, but I stop by to tell somebody, God has not forgot. God has not given up. God has not changed his mind. God has not changed his plan. Maybe you can't swim, but thank God for the pieces. Hang on to the pieces. And the God who has brought you this far, he's going to stick with you. He's going to keep holding you up. He's going to keep bringing you through. Because the God that I serve, he has declared it so. We just about done. Chapter 28 tells us that when they all reached the shore, they discovered they were on an island called Malta. The inhabitants of that island treated them kindly. But it turned out that the governor of the island had a father who was gravely ill. Paul visited him, prayed for him, laid hands on him, and the man was healed. You see, Paul was on his way to Rome as a prisoner. But somebody on that island needed that boat to stop. I don't know about you, but I'm finding out that life will lead you to places you didn't even know existed. But maybe life takes us through the ups and the downs, through the storms and the rough spots. Maybe life takes us through these dramatic detours because the world needs to see light through darkness. Yeah, I'm not sure you're feeling me right here. The question is not, is God the same God in good times and bad times? We know he never changes. The testimony is, the real witness is, the real praise is, am I the same servant? You might ask me how I'm doing today, and I'll tell you I'm doing good. The truth, however, is that I'm hanging on to the pieces. But I thank God for the pieces. Because without the pieces, I'd have drowned. Without the pieces, I wouldn't have made it. I wonder if somebody will be a witness with me. My God is yet delivering. My God is yet keeping me. My God is yet using me. And I can stand and declare in spirit and in truth that whatever this journey has cost me is all right with me today. Because I know a man. Amen. The same man that apprehended Paul one day apprehended me. The same man that Paul preached about, I preach about. And he can have my all because he gave his all. Jesus, the lover of my soul. Jesus, my redeemer and my savior. Jesus, my friend and my shepherd. On Calvary, he paid the price for my sins. By his blood, I've been made whole. On Sunday morning, he got up. Not even death can hurt me no more. And some glad morning, I'm going to take my final journey. I'm going to gather around God's altar and sing his praises forever. Nothing will be able to worry me anymore. And when the saints of old ask me how I made it over, I'll tell them with great joy, on broken pieces. But thank God for the pieces. Amen. 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 God bless.
All the people of God said amen. Some shouted hallelujah. Did not the man of God proclaim the word of God? Is somebody here that has been wondering, how am I going to make it? Can I tell you? The winds may come, the waves may beat into your ship, the ship may fall apart. But hold on to the pieces. Hold on to the pieces. Standing, our deacons are coming. We invite you to come. Surrender all to Jesus. I surrender. Why don't you give, if you're not a member of the body of Christ that we call Second Baptist or any other church, and you're wondering what you can give Christ for Christmas, why don't you give him your soul? The psalmist says, what shall I render unto God for all his benefits toward me? The Bible says, he said, I'll drink of the cup of salvation. Surrender. Come on, church. Oh, all to Jesus I surrender all to him I freely give. I surrender
up and trust him
in his presence daily. I surrender Jesus boy, sweet little Jesus boy. Come on, let's thank God for this family that has come and for this individual that has come. Darren, stand with me, Darren. Darren, a few minutes ago when we were singing, he spread his arms. It's like he was saying, come on, Lord, come on, come on. I don't know what God has for you, young man, but
I don't know what you're going to be in life, but God's going to order your steps. He's going to use you in his kingdom. He's going to use you. You may be a great basketball player, but when your basketball playing days are over, God has another plan for you. Hallelujah. You agree with me?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Deacon Jackson, are you? This is Darren, and this is, it starts with a D. What's your name?
Donovan.
Huh? Donovan. Donovan, all right. And yours? Devin? Three D's. Hallelujah. They were involved in our Sunday school play this morning. One just kept waving to the crowd. Playing to the crowd. Which one was that? The one I got my hands on? I told you the Lord has something for you. Hallelujah. Father and mother, would you please stand? God bless you. God bless you. Welcome. This family was invited to Second Baptist by Mrs. Samples. Mrs. Samples, he works with Mrs. Samples. He's a teacher over at the school with them. And she invited him to come to church. And they've been coming for at least 6 weeks now. And they made up their mind this day that they're going to sail in with us. Whatever pieces the Lord has. Deacon, are you ready?
Thank you. Got the boys?
Yes.
Okay, and the father is Mr. Dale Miller and Mrs. Nicole Miller.
Dale and Nicole.
They come by Christian Experience.
Good.
The boys who you've listed, they are potential candidates for baptism.
We welcome you. We're excited about your presence, and we're excited about the fact that you're excited about Christ. I've been trying to get them to come to breakfast, but they tell me that they are what?
Vegan.
Vegans, are they? What they did send me is some vegan cake, chocolate cake. I didn't know the difference. I told Jackie, this is just regular chocolate cake. He told me today, no milk, no sugar,
no eggs.
No eggs.
Has a little sugar.
Had a little sugar. And when you gonna bake me another cake? Amen. Now I know what it tastes like. Pieces. Thank God for these persons who have come. We welcome you to the body of Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we give you thanks for this family and for their desire to live and to work for you. We bless your name that you have brought them to San Antonio and then brought them to Second Baptist. Use them in your service wherever you would place them. We pray that Second Baptist will be open to their presence and to the gifts that you have given to them. Whether they sing, whether they pray, whether they usher, or whether they teach, whatever responsibilities you have given to them in the life of Second Baptist, we pray that we will honor it. Thank you again for their faith. Thank you for their love. And we pray for your continued guidance in their home and in their life. So, Lord, bless them, keep them, make your face to shine upon them, be gracious unto them, lift your countenance upon them, and give them your peace. In the name of Christ, our Lord, we pray. And all the people of God said, amen. 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 Welcome. Deacon is there for you. Deacon Martin. Deacon Martin welcomes you. And we got a lady coming up to welcome Hello. Sister Johnson comes to welcome. Welcome. I haven't been able to get the little girl yet on my team, but she's a daddy's daughter. And I'm surprised she let her mama hold her. Amen. Thank you. Thank you.